Before we start, let's quickly just pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we want to just come before you this morning, Lord, and want to thank you for what you are doing in us and through us. Thank you for Shofar Bosco, Lord. Thank you for Mario. Thank you for Andres, God. We just lift them up to you, God. We lift our families before you, Lord. We lift our work, our lives, God, our children before you. We thank you that you are a faithful God. And this morning, Lord, we just come, Lord, God, into your presence, and we thank you that you welcome us, God, as your children. And we just want to dedicate this time at your hands, Father, and we ask that you will come and speak to every single heart here, Lord God. Lord, come and meet with us, Lord. God, we are tired of playing church. We're tired, God, of coming and going and never changing, Lord God. Lord, we bring our busy weeks before you, God, our schedules, our programs, God. Lord, you know, God, this fast-paced society, Lord. But we come and we want to come and quiet every voice, God, that ministers to us right now, Lord. And we want to open our hearts to you, Holy Spirit. We ask in Jesus' name that you will come and speak to us, that you will come and lay the secrets of our hearts bare before you again, that you will come and quicken us again, Lord, that you will come and show us yourself again. Holy Spirit, you are the guest of honor in this place, and we give you free reign and liberty to come and do what you want to do this morning in Jesus' name. Lord, we are hungry and thirsty for you. God, like a deer pants for water, God, we pant for the living God. Father, you are the only one that has eternal life, Lord. You're the only one, God, that can give us bread from heaven, Lord. And this morning, we desire that. Come and feed us. Come and show us Christ, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. Are we all saying? Amen. Church, this morning, I want to share with you about becoming a people that are serious about joy. Now, I don't know about you, but I haven't heard many sermons on this. And we all know scriptures about it. But I just took a couple of moments just to put some thoughts on this, and I thought it good as a follow-up on Andrew's sermon last week, where he spoke to us about from John chapter 15 about abiding in the vine, and what does that produce, and God saying that He wants us to bear much fruit. Amen. Not just have fruit, but great fruit, and then much more fruit, because that glorifies His name. I think it says in verse 10. But this morning I'm going to continue on that same trend of bearing fruit, because we know that joy is one of the fruits of the Spirit. And I think in the society we live in, we don't see this testimony among Christians. Amen? Okay, let's just pause here. When I preach, I like you to talk to me. Okay? We are alive. Amen? Okay, you have a voice. If you agree with me, say amen or shout, yes, Jesus. Stand up, dance, do anything. But we can't be dead. Amen? We're serving a living God. Amen? So let's have some life in this place. Jesus is risen. He's alive, amen? Amen. So let's talk to one another this morning. But for myself, I don't know many of you, and you don't know me yet, but you will get to know me. But I'm probably the worst kind of person to talk or to preach on joy. I come over as a very serious person or a very unjoyful guy, but actually I'm not. I'm actually a very friendly person. You just need to get through my thick skin. I actually love people a lot. I'm very good at one-on-one, and I love to host people. So, but there's a saying, praise God, that He can take a skew stick and hit a straight shot. Okay, and I'm that skew guy, and He's hitting a straight shot. So God is working in my life in this area. So this morning, I'm preaching to myself more than you, but I'm just glad you are here to listen to my own thoughts. Amen? So please take notes. I think it's good, and that you enjoy it. But church, this morning, I believe one of the reasons I'm sharing this is that many of us is going through a tough time. Many of us has gone through a tough year and has experienced many things and actually has lost our joy and the reason for serving God. You are doubting God's goodness. You are doubting, is the Lord really in love with you? And for myself, I'm just speaking for myself. You know, I had a very, very, very tough year. Not moving year is great, but you know, before that, I was accused wrongfully by many people doing the right thing like Jesus and then being said all the wrong stuff. And that throws you. That makes you think like, God, where are you? And it brings confusion and doubt in your heart. So it was a tough year for me. And then being on the planning team for this Convergence and the Awakening Conference, you know, it's hard work. And stuff happens. And you feel like catching up the whole time, you know. And you've got small kids and house is a mess. And, you know, you're trying to manage all that. I've lost my joy. And that's only a few reasons. And I believe many of us are here. And who can just by show of hands tell me who can identify with me this morning? That you have felt that you've actually lost your joy, or you can't get grips on this thing called, Lord, your joy. What is this? So I'm glad you're here with me, and I really believe that God has God has brought you here. It's not by coincidence that you are in Hermanus at Shofar Bosco listening to me. Amen? God is sovereign, people. God is good, and He leads us, and He's the great shepherd of His sheep. Now, despite all of this bad news about me and about us just not making it, God wants us as His people to be serious about joy. Amen? You see, He wants us to have fun and enjoy life. Amen? The Bible says here in Nehemiah 8, verse 10, we all know the scripture, that the joy of the Lord is our strength. God wants us to have fun. God wants us to listen like guys like King Davis, who's got an amazing ministry of just making us relax. Because we come so, and I always think of this, of church history, that, you know, how the people and the crusaders went out and destroyed things and did also many wonderful things. But the testimony they left afterwards is that we are so stern people. We are so ernstig as Afrikaans. You know, we can't smile. We are very disciplined and we're very in our purposes and driven towards something greater. But God has sometimes wants to just make us stop and just enjoy life as well. Amen? And what I realize, it's very hard for Satan to tempt a joyful person than it is for him to tempt a sad or a depressed one. Amen? The devil can tempt, it's very hard for him to come after God, which is full of joy and full of God's strength. Amen? You see, a joyful Christian is also a witnessing Christian because he has something exciting to share to other people. Amen? The joy of the Lord, say with me, the joy of the Lord is my strength. And we must secure that. We must fix that into our hearts and know that and pray that often over ourselves. Now, the one thing as a human being, I've been struggling over the years as a Christian in my own life, and I've seen it in many, many, many Christians' lives, despite God's will for us to walk in joy, is the fact that we as Christians come over as most of the times as the saddest people on the planet Earth. Amen? And we always complain and moan about things, and life is so hard, and my job is so busy, and my kids are so sick, and we struggle to say a good word. We wake up just geïrriteerd. We wake up with just issues. And the testimony we have is we're the saddest people, you know? And many of us look like, I've written you, look like we have lemon juice for breakfast. Morning. Bless you, God. Bless you. Instead of a lekker cup of coffee, man, with some froth in it or some cream in it, man. You know, we need some coffee. I know this guy, he was at the conference, Dr. Corneille Becker. I don't know who knows him. He's a very, very, very great teacher. I really respect him. He's an excellent teacher. He comes from a recent university in the States. And he's a good friend of Shofar and Fred. And we had a leadership thing with him a couple of years ago in the morning. He stood there, came off the plane. He's like, guys, I can't start. I need some coffee. And I brought him the coffee, the PA lady. And he said, oh, guys, I'm going to tell you one thing. My doctrine is this is the physical manifestation of the love of Jesus. And he just drink his cup of coffee. So he says, yeah. So guys, we need some coffee. We need to lighten up. We are an unfriendly bunch of guys. We are so sad and so rude sometimes. We can't even smile. But the thing I always say is we have a reason to smile. We have got the reason. The world out there does not have a reason. And I like the quote from the evangelist D.L. Moody on the screen there. Read with me. He says, there are too many religious meetings which are sadder than a funeral. They are a hindrance to the course of Christ. They breed people with faces bearing an expression as chilling as the east wind from off the lake. And D.L. Moody, guys, I want to say to you, you are so right. You know, because one of the greatest obstacles for sinners coming to Jesus is our joyless attitude as Christians. It's an obstacle to them, but it's not only an obstacle. This attitude of ours is a thief that steals the very life from us. Amen? It steals the very life. God says He comes to give us life and life in abundance. And this thing steals from us. It's a robber. It's a thief. And what I've realized, that the devil knows this. When he can steal your joy, he will steal your strength. He will steal your joy. He will steal your confidence in God. And then you won't be able to witness or shine your light for Christ. And I tell you one thing, the world out there needs to encounter a God which is joyful. They want to see people full of the joy of the Lord. Because we will be exciting. We will be like little children wanting to share. Just come and ask me. I've got a reason for the hope I have. Amen? So this morning, I want to tell you, by preaching this, we are going to stop this morning. Amen? We are trusting the Lord for a new season in every single person's life. I don't know where you are, but the God I serve knows you by name. He knows every hair upon your head. And He wants to bring a new season of joy into every one of our lives. Maybe just a deeper revelation of His joy. Maybe a deeper understanding of His heart for you, despite the circumstances you're going through. Amen? Just tell your neighbor, that's just a start. We are going somewhere. Just grab him and say, buckle up, boys. We are going somewhere. So, who can tell me this morning, what do you think is joy? What do you think is joy? Some answers. I like to get the people involved. Just randomly, just say, well, what do you think is joy? If you can just put it in words, what would you say is it? Don't, no hands, just go for it. Peace. Okay, great. At the back. Say again. Fruit of the Spirit. Yes, we mentioned that. Laughing, happiness. Somebody said, yeah? Happiness. This group is very still. They are the serious ones. We need to come and stand here. Talk to me. What do you guys think? Contentment. Smiling, free. Okay. Okay, whoa, my turn. Okay, great, guys. That is all wonderfully correct. I'm going to throw in here a few curveballs. Look at the screens. Joy is a state of delight and the well-being that results from knowing and serving God. It's a state of delight from knowing and serving God. You see, God, joy is a byproduct of a life with God. The lady there said it's a fruit of the Spirit. It's a life, it's a byproduct of the life with God. And the Bible, the important thing for us this morning, and if you forget everything, please remember this one thing. Put in your books the following. The Bible distinguishes between joy and happiness. Vreugde en geluk is Afrikaans. And the two is not the same. Joy isn't happiness and happiness isn't joy. There are mutual elements in between, but if you break it down, it's not the same. Happiness is based on your circumstances or your emotional state. Okay? It depends on what is happening to you in the current situation. If your circumstances are good, you will be happy. If your circumstances change immediately, you will be unhappy. That is happiness, based on your emotional or circumstances. Then, but joy, on the other hand, is based on God and what we know about Him. It's based on God and what we know about Him. Joy is thus the fruit of a right relationship with God. Joy comes from within and will automatically flow over into our lives. Now, in other words, it will be a fruit which other people will see and taste that God is good. Amen? You can't tell me I'm joyful, but nobody can see it. If it's a fruit, it must be eaten. And people must eat it by experiencing the joy in your life, or the love in your life, or the peace, the goodness, the selflessness in your life. People need to experience that. Amen? So, joy for me, a picture. We all have driven behind cars which has like lots of smoke behind them. It stings tremendously for me. Now, joy is that lubrication joy lubricates the machinery of life that makes everything just runs more smoother. Just think about it. That engine that needs some oil, you know, that car's not going to last long. But with joy in our machinery, with joy in our lives, life will just be so much easier. Because it's not based on what we're going through, it's based on the God we serve, the God we know. Amen? And please remember that. It is not the same joy in life. Now, one thing I want to throw in here a key for you. One thing I've learned in my own life, which activates joy in my life. Because like I said to you earlier, you know, I'm not a guy that only comes across very joyful, although I am, and very thankful for God. There's certain things that needs me to help me to get into this joy thing. And I want to just throw that in with you. Maybe it will help you. Maybe it will bless you. A key that will activate joy in your life. The following. Read with me Psalm 118. It says here, this is the day the Lord has made. David is saying, we will rejoice and be glad in it. What does this mean? In other words, to start walking in joy, it starts with a choice that you have to make. Look at this. David says, I will rejoice. And guys, that refers to a decision you and I have to make to start walking in joy. A decision you have to make despite your circumstances. That God, I am going to rejoice because you are with me. Because this is the day that you have made. Because you are my Lord and my rock. Amen? So guys, but the reality of life is we seldom feel like rejoicing. We seldom wake up feeling, oh, what a wonderful day. We're going to dance and have fun. No. We've all got issues and all got serious challenges in our lives. And God knows that.
And there's grace for that. But that's what David gives us a key here. Just listen here. Just make the decision of life. Just start by speaking words of life. You know, yesterday I was at a wedding and I just taught the marriage couple about just how important your words is to honor each other in marriage as a building block for building a lasting marriage. I found in my own life that, you know, we're so quick with the Christian darts. You know, we want to play the Holy Spirit, but we can't. We must not. We must just love each other. And the best way to do it is to create an atmosphere where you can complement each other and build and edify one another. And then that rose will go open and just open for you, and your wife will become beautiful to you again. Amen? So just make the decision that I will rejoice. And what this means, guys, is we need to lay down our feelings to be able to walk in the Spirit. And the Bible calls this, and David calls this in Psalms, he calls it a sacrifice of praise. That is what we will need to do. You will need to be a sacrifice, a thing that you don't want to do, but God said, God, I'm laying this down on the altar. I'm laying against all my feelings, all my circumstances, I'm giving this praise to you, God. It seems crazy, but it's not. It's worship unto you. And it will flip you, and it will bring you into a place where you can start walking in. So now, for example, for me is, guys, when I had a tough weekend, you know, I can't rush in here in church, and fume and say, the kids and the wife and everything is so tough. No. I need to come maybe as I drive in and say, God, I make a decision now to put on joy. I make a decision now to smile and to love your people, because this is not about me. This is about your kingdom coming, and I'm here to serve you, God. Amen? I need to make, right in the car as I'm driving here all the way from Honduras, I need to make a decision and say, God, I will rejoice today. You know, the amazing thing is God comes in, the grace of God kicks in, and somehow I'm just lighter. Somehow I've got a reason to smile again. And you bump into somebody and they give you a hug and you go on. Amen? The key is you go immediately to the back there, because Jesus' love is there in cups. This waits there for you. And then you have it. That was a joke. So, in other words, I want to encourage you guys to rejoice. Starts with an act of your faith. An act and deciding that you are going to have joy. Now, you see, guys, the world rejoices because they are happy. Amen? We in the kingdom, we have joy because we rejoice. I'm going to say that again. In the world, people rejoice because they are happy. We in the kingdom, we have joy because we rejoice. What does that mean? You see, the world's happiness comes from an event. Our joy comes from God and what He did for us. And I want to tell us, many of us needs to go back to God and activate our joy today by saying, God, I'm going to focus on you and not on myself. I'm going to fix my eyes upon Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith. It's time to take off our eyes of ourselves, guys. This walk with God is not about you. It's about His plan for your life. Amen? And when we can look into that place, we look Him in the eye, you will see all these things become so small and dim. There's a song we sing. So we need to look unto Christ and remind us what He's done for us. And then that will help, like David says, that we will rejoice and be glad. Now, who of us believes that God wants us as His people to be serious about joy? I believe that. I'm not walking in the fullness of advice. I believe that. I can see it in Scripture. And I just want to encourage you and share with you a quick one or two thoughts about why I think God wants us to be serious about joy as His people. The first one is found here in Zephaniah 3 verse 17. The first reading is because God is the author of joy. That's why I want us as His people to be serious about it. It says here, the Lord your God in your midst, the mighty one will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with His love. He will rejoice over you with singing. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will rejoice over you with singing. Church, this is the God we serve. This is our God. Amen? A joyful one. He is the author of joy. Joy was His idea, and He wants you to share in it with Him. Now, what this verse literally means, and maybe that you know it, maybe you don't know, it's amazing. If you look at the Greek in this, the Hebrew in this, it says, God spins around you, He claps over you, and He shouts with joy over you. When He says that He rejoices over you with singing and gladness, it means He spins around, He claps His hands and says, yay, you shovel of Bosco, I love you, I adore you. He quiets you then with His love so that you can just enter His courts with just worship. Amen? It means He spins around you. Guys, it's a violent action. No kid does it rustig. They go wild. And our God is a joyful being. Amen? He wants us to see that there's action in it. He's serious about loving unto us as His people. And this is how he feels about us. But the sad news this morning is that many people don't know a God like this. Many don't know a God that loves them to death, that are joyful, that actually smiles. We've got this weird and foreign ideas about God. They think he's the biggest spoilsport or the killjoy that exists. They think life is boring with him. But I want to tell us in Jesus' name, that is a lie. The God that I serve, the God that you serve, is a living God. He's a joyful being. Amen? And he wants us to invite us this morning into his presence to enjoy that with him. To walk out here as a testimony unto the life of Christ. Amen? And that's the good news. He wants us to share with him this abundance. So that's the first one. The second reason I want to leave, God wants us to be serious as a church about joy, is because joy is an essential part of his kingdom. And when we get born again, we get born again into his kingdom. He makes us part of his family. And this family's name board on the door is joy. Enter God's house. The joy of the Lord. Read with me Romans 14. It says, "For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit." And guys, Paul is saying here, a life in the kingdom is supposed to be a joyful one. But is that what we are experiencing? How much are we leaning on ourselves versus leaning on Jesus? You see, when the disciples was in the boat, they looked at the waves and they looked at their own circumstances and said, "God, we're gonna die here. We're not surfers. We are fishermen, God. The guys that are mariners, they know how to fish and to surf. We need you to help us." But the moment they fixed their eyes on him and allowed him to be God in their lives, the storm was stilled. So he brings us into a kingdom that is full of joy. And guys, Jesus confirms this. John 15, it says, "These things I've spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, that your joy may be filled." What things he spoke of? The things that God is divine, and we are the branches, and we must abide in the vine, and we must bear fruit unto God. He says, "I've spoken these things to you so that your joy may be full, that your joy might remain." What a promise, isn't it? What he's saying, you guys, is if you remain in Jesus, your joy will be full, and his joy will remain in you. And we're going to touch on this a little bit later, but there's an important thing for us to catch it. But the sad thing is, guys, so many Christians and so many of us don't have full joy that Jesus is referring to. We have rather empty joy because we don't abide in the vine. We are reffing it so loud in church that the tank is empty. And God wants to fill us this morning. God wants to make our cup to overflow this morning again. Amen? You see, many times I found in church in my own life, the only joy that I experience is the event-driven joy. We only now and then experience when only so-and-so preach or so-and-so worships, leads to worship, then we will maybe experience joy. And that's not what God intended for us, amen? God brought us into a kingdom. He brought us, he gave us an inheritance, which is a glorious one. Not one where only once in a blue moon experience, but rather he died for us to live in joyful in abundance, so that our joy may be full, amen? That is the God we serve, a God of abundance. A God which spins and claps and sings over us with excitement because he knows the plans he has for us. Plans of a hope and a future to bless us, to keep us, and to make us the head and not the tail. Amen? So joy is part of his kingdom. And then the last one I want to share what God wants us to be serious this morning about joy and pursue that is because probably the most important one is because joy is our inheritance. Read here with me Galatians 5. Very interesting portion of scripture from Paul. He says, "So I advise you to live according to your new life in the Holy Spirit. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The old nature loves to do evil, which is opposite from what the Holy Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite from what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, and your choices are never free from this conflict. But when the Spirit of God controls our lives, listen to this, he will produce this kind of fruit in us." We all know this. Love and joy and peace and patience and kindness, goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. And guys, what I believe, this is my little pet doctrine, is when I believe the moment we get born again by the Holy Spirit, all these fruits are planted in us. We don't receive a little bit from Jesus here and then 2 months a little bit more from him. No, no, no. When we see the Spirit, God gives us everything from himself. He's downloaded into our spirits. And it's for us a lifetime to walk with God and to discover what He's planted within us. Amen? God isn't a selfish being. He gives us more than what we need. Amen? It is as we walk with Him, we discover these things He's given us, all these mysteries and wisdom and understanding. So in other words, you can be joyful. You can be gentle. You can be driven. I think we need to tell this to ourselves. In the morning when we brush our teeth, Yaku, you in the mirror, you can be joyful. Today you're going to be a kindful person in Jesus' name. You see, when we are born again, I believe these things are placed in us in seed form. They're very, very, very small, but they need faith. They need the water of the Word. They need the Spirit to start growing them. Amen? And we are responsible to develop them and to grow them. Amen? But there are circumstances, and I've seen this over and over with different people. Some of these fruits are more dominant than others when we are with God or when we grew up. You know, it depends on where you are nurtured in and all that. I've got this golfing friend. I like to play some golf. I've got a golfing. He's got this joy thing figured out. You know, if you know the Hetty Brits tall trees portfolio, he is the typical palm tree. The extrovert guy. He just laughs and he's the life of the party and he cracks a joke. You know, and for a person like me, I need that. I need to have a joke and just to soften up and just to become friendly again. He does that. You know, when we play golf, he will crack jokes. I will sit on the tee box and I can't play golf. I'm so full of laughs. It's crazy. But now, when it comes to him being patient to put the little ball in the putting hole, you know, he can't. So he's got no patience. You know, he will say two or three words which I can't repeat here, and then he will just hit the ball. You know, and I'm just so, it's such a picture to me that these things are not all at the same level in our lives. But we need to trust God to grow all nine of them. Isn't that true? But this morning, the Holy Spirit wants to put His finger on the joy one and say, how is your joy fruit looking? If it's small this morning, praise the Lord. You're not worse off. You're not badder than I am. The guy with, like my friend Mark, with his big joy fruit, he's not better than I am. He's just more developed in that one area. But I tell you, with his patience, I'm much better than him. So we can wrestle there. But we are all under construction with the Lord. Amen? But guys, it's important for us to know that gifts are given, but fruits are grown. Any farmer here knows that. When I give you this Bible and it's a gift, you take it, it's yours. I don't want it back. It's a freebie. But a gift, if I give you a fruit, it must be grown. And with us, we know fruit doesn't just pop on a tree. No, it comes from a little seed. It must grow. I mean, it needs love. It needs water. It needs a good soil. And the same for us. And that's why small groups are so important as a shofar movement. We want you to come into an environment where you can be nurtured and grown in all of your fruits. Amen? The Bible said the greatest one of them all is love. And we all need to grow in a fruit of love, and it must become the biggest one. Amen? And that's why small groups are better, so we can learn from each other. We can feel how does a joyful person look. And ask him, why are you joyful? When are you joyful? Or a patient guy, ask him, how do you endure that trial? How do you endure that when the people are wrong to you? No, I'm just patient. I really learn from each other. Amen? Let's do that, and let's encourage each other in that. So church, God wants us to be serious about joy because it is our inheritance in the Spirit. Like I told you, when you get born again, you get born again of the Spirit of God. It gives you everything. It's your birthright. It is the birthright of every believer to walk in joy. But I want to tell you one thing. Satan knows it as well. And he does not like this fruit of the Spirit. It says here that your evil nature does not like. It's opposite to what the Holy Spirit does. And the devil will use every opportunity to get you out of circumstances to grow and to experience the joy of the Lord. But like Jacob, and like fight for your birthright. Do anything which you can do to get your birthright from the Lord. Contend for it. It's your inheritance. It doesn't come easy always. Stand against the evil one and say, no, I'm going to walk in joy. Tell yourself, I will rejoice in the Lord. Even though if it's a mandatory prayer, just start with that. Guys, we walk by faith and not by sight. Nowadays, church is all about sight. We want to see first and then believe. God says, no. It's a walk of faith. Let's walk by faith and start praying those prayers. You see, guys, it's a serious weapon to overcome him. It's the joy of the Lord. Amen? And because the enemy knows that the joy is our strength, he also wants to steal it. And I've mentioned three little things which steals our joy. There are a million of them. Okay? I want you just to listen, to close your eyes as I'm saying this. Just listen to the Spirit of the Lord, maybe showing you where your joy has been quenched, where your joy has been lost, where your joy has suffered. And you're not walking it anymore. The first one I want to mention to us is that one of the major thieves of our joy is sin and disobedience. And David experienced this firsthand. He says in Psalm 51, he says, "Restore to me, God, the joy of my salvation, of your salvation, and uphold me by your generous spirit." Look at the involvement of the Holy Spirit there. Even David saw that way before the New Testament. "Restore to me, God, the joy of your salvation." What happened here? We all know the story. God, David was busy with, in his palace, busy with his own thinking. He saw Bathsheba there bathing, and he looked after, and we all know the story. He slept with another child, and it was disastrous. And he sent his husband onto the wall, and he arranged for him to be killed. And he made amazing sins. And he cried. And all the whole Psalm of 51 is a cry unto God and say, "God, restore to me the joy of your salvation." And guys, David lost his joy through this sin and disobedience to God. Because it says here, in those years, kings need to be at war. But he stayed at home. And David was one of the most successful kings of his lifetime. So David, through sin and disobedience, lived more than a year under a dark cloud of despair and gloom. And he couldn't figure out, "God, what is happening? Why has your hand lifted off my life?" And God had to show him through the prophet Nathan, "Listen here, you are the little guy." And obviously David repented like we know he did. First of all, he said, "God, against you and you alone, I've sinned." But guys, as a church, we must remember that we can lose our joy through sin in our lives. Now, I'm not saying we're all sinful people here. No. We know a great Savior. Amen? We all are great sinners. But sin means basically in the Greek to miss the mark. If you have an arrow and you must hit a target and you miss it, that is what sin means. You're not hitting the supposed target you need to hit. You're not doing what you're supposed to do. You're missing the mark of God. God's standard is there and you're coming in here. God wants you by His grace and Spirit to go over the bar every time. That is sin. It can be anything. It's not only adultery like David did. It's not only fornication. It can be any sin. It will eat on your fruit of your joy. It's like a little michi. It will eat on the skin and it will rot. And we won't enjoy it and you won't enjoy it. It will be lost. Amen? So if you have lost your joy through this, please, as I'm speaking, take an inventory. Maybe in this week. Maybe at small group Wednesday or Thursday. Prepare your heart. Go there with a list. Talk to your small group leaders. Listen here. When Yaku spoke in the week, the Lord showed me these things. Years ago, this. Months ago, that. I said this. I dropped the spiritual dart here to my wife. I injured my kids like this. God is faithful. He wants you, if you ask Him, He will show it to you. Amen? God does not play hide and seek with us. Amen? He wants us to walk in His fullness. Amen? And then let's confess that unto God. It can be anything, like I said. The second one, which is probably the biggest one for me, is... Second thief is neglecting time with God. And I believe this is the biggest reason today that most of us aren't working in joy. You see, our lives are too busy. And like John 15 says, we don't abide in the vine anymore. And here I'm stepping on some toes here. You see, guys, God hasn't called us to be busy. He called us to be fruitful. Read John 15 again. Doesn't call you to be busy. He calls you to be fruitful. And I read an amazing article in the week. A guy just playing with this thought of analogy. He says, when I give you a bowl, like a sugar bowl, a glass bowl, full of rice, white rice in it, 2/3 full. And I give you, in the next basket, I give you 10 or 15 little small golf balls. And I try and I ask you to put these golf balls, to fit everything into this one jar of rice. Fit it in there. The guy looked, he said, listen here, man, I can't do it. You know, there's no space. That's the whole point. It's ready to fill because of the rice. But he says, think outside of the box. Take a second jar, then you put in first all the golf balls, and then you start throwing the rice into it. And you will be funny surprised that everything fits into the one jar. What am I saying to us this morning, guys? Make God number one. He's that little golf ball. Put Him first into your schedule. Put Him first into your plans, and you will see the rest fitting in. You will see the rest coming around and filling all the gaps. It is amazing how it works. With a physical example like that, I was blown away. But we don't do it. We make excuses. God, later. And I find myself, guys, Probably the biggest area in my life where I lost my joy in the last year or the last 2 years is by neglecting my time with the Lord. And John said it in John 15. Jesus said, when you remain in me, your joy will be full. I ran on empty joy. I made it up. I sound Christianese. I did all the wonderful things. I was tired after that. Fruit, guys, are automatic. It's easy to bear fruit, is it? It just comes. It's just there. But it's hard to keep it up when it's not there. Amen? So let's not neglect God anymore. And I remember the times when I was still just, I just got saved, you know, when I was at high school. Now, we all know those honeymoon times when God's Spirit was all over us and we just spent hours in His presence and just reading His Word. Amen? We were so full of joy. I remember I jumped so high at house. My mother thought, I'm crazy. I'm told I am crazy for Jesus, man. But what happened after that? Life becomes busy and we start planning other more important things. And God says, no. Keep me first. Don't neglect me. Please, guys, listen to me. So, if you've been like me this morning, neglecting your time with God or the Word, or just coming to church, or just praying in the Spirit for a while, or then I want you to make right with God today. He is waiting for you. He is inviting you. This morning we sang a beautiful song. Come, now is the time to worship, church. Come, now is the time this morning to make right with God. There's a beautiful story in the Gospels where there's a lame guy at the pool of Bethesda. He sat there. I think the Bible said for 38 years, 16 years, I'm not sure. That's not the point. Then each year, once a year, the angel comes and stirs the waters and the people jump in before him. And he sits there. He says, Jesus, I can't get in because I can't get into the water. All the people jump in before me. The principle is, guys, is when the Holy Spirit stirs the waters at church, wherever we are, don't sit and watch. Jump in. This morning, as the Lord is stirring your heart, don't sit and say, I'm going to do it at home. You're not going to do it at home. The devil knows that. He's lying to you. Fix it here. Embrace the moments of God. Then the last one that steals our joy, and there can be hundreds, like I said, is here in Philippians 4. Paul tells us that worry and stress is an eater, is a killer of joy. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say to you, church, rejoice. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus. Guys, we all know this. And we all have tendencies to worry. And I'm not talking about, you know, the healthy worry about, oh, your kid is not so healthy, or your kid must go to school. You know, that's a concern of a parent or a grandparent. But today, worry has become one of the acceptable things for Christians to do. And I want to tell you, it's the greatest thief of our joy and peace of the Holy Spirit. Don't treat it as the acceptable thing of the charismatic church now or the Pentecostal event. It's not. It stays the biggest killjoy there is. To become anxious. The word anxious means to be pulled into different directions. Your mind is over there, but you can't focus. You say to me, Yaku, I sit with my word and I'd long to read, but when I sit there, it's like, oh, I have all these thoughts. I can't focus on the cross, on Jesus. I can't put on the CD to worship. My friend, you are anxious. God wants to bring His peace into your life. Wants to come and still those storms. So you can just look into one set of eyes. The Son of God. Which loves you. So church, worry and stress is a thief and it will rob you of your joy. And Paul is giving us here lots of keys to overcome it. To deal with it quickly. He says, if you're anxious, make supplications. Make prayers unto God with thanksgiving. Call somebody. Say, pray with me please. Cast your burden on the Lord. And then he says, well, what will happen? The peace of God will come. And I realize when I have peace, I always have joy. The two are like two twins, like two buddies. They love each other's company. So fight, God. Use Paul's principles here and fight. And fight because we are going to get anxious. We are just human. But Paul is saying, when you do, there's a quick escape route from Philippians 4. He wants us to rejoice always because that will be our witness unto the world. The church, the world needs to see us joyful again, guys. I'm so strong about that. My parents need to know that. They just know the stern, sticky God that was always so serious and dumb and killjoy. We must have fun in church, amen? We must have a laugh. Come on, guys, let's have a laugh. Our God reigns. Our God is risen, seated upon the throne. We will enjoy His inheritance forever with Him. Amen. There's no sadness in His presence. There's no sadness in His presence. Amen. So, if you can identify with me and you are stressed out, and I went through many things like that, I want to invite you and say, guys, God is not angry with you. If you are fond, if you've got a weakness to just stress about things, you can't control things always. God is not angry with you. God just wants to come and say, let me love on you. Let me help you to cast your burdens upon me, and I will give you rest and joy. Amen. And then I want to end just by one little small scripture. Psalm 30 verse 5. It says here, for the anger, His anger is but for a moment. His favor is for life. What a word. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Church, Jesus is the lifter of our heads. This morning I believe God wants to bring us all into a new morning of joy. The night is over. Say with me, my night is over. My sadness is over. My depression is over. I've got a reason to be joyful. A new morning has arrived. And church, this morning I believe one of the keys for your deliverance to that walking in joy, as it was for me, is to bring God a sacrifice of praise. Despite your circumstances. I want to challenge every one of us here this morning. Don't walk out here without coming to make the sacrifice of praise at the altar. Just say to God, God, I will rejoice. You have made this day. I will be glad, God. I don't feel that way, God. My tears are running down my face. But God, You are good despite everything I know. That will be your key. Of the guys, do it every day. God says He's got a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Many of us here, I see, have got cloaks of heaviness upon us. And God says, throw it off. Tear it off. I will clothe you with my praise. But the key is in your mouth. The key is your decision to make for life or against life. Amen. So, church, this morning I want us to stand. And I want us to just close our eyes. Because God is, the world is waiting for the revealing of the sons of God. Amen. And our joy will be contagious. Our joy will attract them to Christ. Isn't that the truth? So let's pray. Father, we want to thank You in Jesus' name that You are in love with us, Lord. Thank You that You are for us and not against us. Thank You, Lord, that You are going to bring this morning a new season of joy into our lives. We receive a new season. God, we thank You. We just welcome a new morning, Lord. And we want to acknowledge, God, Lord, the night has been long, Lord. The night has been so depressing and so, God, we couldn't see the end of it. But God, this morning in Jesus' name, there's a new oil of joy available for Your people, God. Thank You for an anointing of joy this morning upon all of our heads, Father, in Jesus' name. Church, if you are here this morning, you've very simple altar call, have lost your prayer through anything, may it be sin or disobedience or neglecting your time with God or just normal worry and stress, I want to invite you to come. We just come and bring your sacrifice of praise. Just come and acknowledge it before the Lord and say, Lord, I'm that person Yaku mentioned. I'm the person which You have showed me this morning, Lord. I want to walk in Your fullness. I want to connect with the author of joy again. Amen. As we wait upon those people, I want to invite you to come right now. To come. If there's any other prayer, every other prayer needs, Yaku, I've got kids. I've got a sinning husband or wife. And we want to pray for them. Or even if you're just trusting the Lord for a new season, then come again. We want to just welcome you and love on you. Father, we want to thank You this morning for Your people coming to listen to You, Lord, and to come and sit at Your feet. We just commit this day into Your hands, Father. And I come and just ask that You will make Your face shine upon Your people, God. Make them strong, God. Raise them up, God. May You shine Your face upon them, God. Lord, they are the heads and not the tails. They are above and not beneath. Father, we ask You for Your presence upon them, God. May You go with them, Lord, and may You just guide them and lead them into all truth. We bless them. In Jesus' name. Amen. Church, thank you for coming. Please don't leave by greeting somebody now. There's some coffee at the back. If you have got any prayer needs, come to the front. We're going to pray for people with some of the leaders here. If there's any other prayer need, God
wants to meet that need this morning. We love you. Come back next Sunday. God bless you. Amen.